Hey there. Thanks for tuning in to Powerful Perspectives, a podcast documenting a group of high school students' journey to discovering true authority in a world of competing voices. My name is Amber DeLugash, and I teach a dual credit composition course in Bolivar, Missouri. Last semester, my students wrestled with the coursework through the lens of an essential question: what does it mean to be an American? At one point, a student reflected that stories create connection, and connection creates understanding. Therefore, we decided that in order for us to walk away from the semester with a greater understanding of the question, we had to listen to the experiences and insight of others outside of our limited vantage points. So we hosted a variety of people with different perspectives, and we published our dialogue on a separate podcast called The American Experience. This semester, we're striving to answer the question, what is power? If we learned one thing from last semester, it was that there is great power in listening to understand. So we decided it was crucial to call in experts once again and publish our conversations. As you listen, keep in mind that each discussion is organic and unscripted. Students are gathering around the table, some figurative and some literal, to hear from our guests. You'll receive the full school experience, complete with bells, announcements, and tardiness. Thanks for stepping into our world as we try to step into the worlds of others. Here's another episode of Powerful Perspectives. Tonight, BHS hosted a showcase of learning and invited parents to come into our classrooms to observe and take part in the student showcase. A handful of dual credit comp students volunteered their time to come in and demonstrate their skills to sit and have civil discourse. This semester, as we dive into the discussion of power, I wanted to empower their voices and give them a chance to share things they normally don't feel comfortable sharing. As they gathered around the circle, I posed this question: what do you wish other generations understood about your generation? I was surprised to hear their thoughts about politics, safety, cell phones, mental health, and dating, and the overall hopeful tone of the impact that they believe they can have. Here are their thoughts.
I'm going to be here after you die.
Maybe not, but like generally speaking.
You said that with such intensity. What is
there? Generally speaking, you die. I guess what I mean by that is just like, you know, we're the leaders and voters of tomorrow. We're the people of tomorrow, and it's important for us to be understood as that, rather than like sometimes it's like, oh, whether there's just in high school, like, you know, our opinions based on the narrative that's being played are either extremely important or extremely unimportant. And so I think that it should just be valued regardless. So like, we're still going to be here, and right now we're developing opinions, so it's important for older people to understand that even after their time being the decision makers and things like that is over, like, our opinions are developing right now and will affect not only our future, but like even our posterity's future as well.
Only you're going to get this, but this relates to what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Like, okay, the topic was teenagers 17 and 16 should be able to vote. 17 for federal election and 16 for local election, and et cetera, everything that happens in their life. Like, their opinions matter more in this sense because, like, it's their futures, it's what's going to happen to them. So, like, they should be the ones to be able to vote freely and not be restricted until their views have been shaped exactly like everybody else in society.
Yeah, but a lot of them are still uneducated.
Yeah, they're all 16-year-olds,
but
like,
them,
if you
right?
think about it.
I know, but I'm still educated, but I understand that. A lot of them wouldn't, and they go vote, and
yeah. I don't understand voting, and I'm a voter.
Yeah,
so
if you think about it, we don't even take government until our junior or senior year. And so, like, if you were to go be put into a situation where you feel like you have to vote, because that's typically what happens, like, most people our age, or even older, sometimes feel like they have to go and vote. Even though they may not understand politics or may not understand what they're voting for, they go and do it anyways, which eventually shapes, you know, it could shape our society, well, not society, but our area or something like that. And so if we were to be put into a situation where 16 and 17-year-olds were supposed to vote, then, like, they, yeah, like Travis was saying, they wouldn't be, I personally would not be educated enough. but I would still feel like I have to go and vote. And so I'm glad that we have our that boundary to where we have to be 18, and it is, at that point, it's our duty, but it's not.
Here's the thing, though. First of all, like, it's not, if you let the 16 or 17 years old vote, like, if you lower the age limit, it'll be much easier, and it will be much more responsible, much more responsibility for them. And they'll be able to change how their local community changes, like what their things around them change, like what their future is going to be like. Also, completely off topic, when did you take American government?
I took it this semester before. Yeah.
Really?
Thanks. It seems like it was like 3 years ago.
Did you take it freshman year?
No.
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 I took it freshman year.
You mean summer school.
No, I mean freshman year.
That's weird, man. You're not supposed to do that.
Well,
they let me do it, so whatever.
Well, okay.
Summer school.
You go.
I just had a thought, like, what if we, like, had a class in our school to, like, educate us on what the coming elections are about and, like, stuff?
I would love that.
That'd be cool.
If you know me at all.
I feel like, honestly, that would help us.
That would be a good idea.
But,
like, even local.
And that was another thing.
How do you think that would change the views of people from different generations?
I think that, oh.
It'd be hard to find an unbiased.
Yeah, just, like, if you think about it.
I was thinking, like, hours. Like, we could get all of the people talking and, like, connecting and, like, listening to different generations.
It's like a dialogue thing.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the other generations, like my parents' generation, for example, like a lot of people complain that we don't know enough. And like, I mean, in the news that is somewhat proven wrong with all the, well, not really proven wrong, but you know what I mean, with all the teams that are standing up for things that they believe in. And so I feel like now the other generations have kind of taken a step back and realized that we aren't just dumb teenagers. And I feel like if we did take a class like that, that would honestly help their views even more, because it's not saying, oh, we're just standing up for this because our parents do.
Yeah, I feel like our generation is just extremely
political. And if you lower the voting age to 16 or 17, you have to realize what that sets the precedent for in the future. Like, everything we know it would probably change in a way.
Yeah.
Just like advertisements to other laws. Because like right now, I think you have to be like 17 is like the age you could try as an adult in Missouri. But if you're voting at 16, then that kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You have to think of other things that age relates to as well.
Yeah.
Like a domino effect.
It really sets like, I mean, how can you justify that, you know, if you can vote at 16, but at the same time you can still be tried as a child for certain crimes? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But just more on the whole, like, generational note, just in general, like, age is so hard to define. It's not like when you turn 18 you suddenly know everything, because you really don't. I mean, you really don't just have everything you need to know to vote. You don't have everything you need to know about, I mean, taxes or college or anything. You just don't know. It's just a number that they came up with. So, I mean, it's not very different from 17 or 16 in a way. But at the same time, you probably shouldn't just lower it just for the sake of lowering it, or just to show that we have more responsibility, because I think it was what Darby said. Like, we're not dumb teenagers. Yeah, we're not dumb teenagers. I don't think anybody in this room who's a teenager is dumb, but I do know some. So, like, I'm not willing to say that we should lower the age, because I do know people that aren't as, you know, educated or as well-spoken as us. So I think that really it just boils down to if you're ready to do it yourself, but there's no real way to measure that. There's no test that can tell you that. Our generation...
Political aptitude test.
Yeah,
oh,
which we're not going to get into that, because that is... Oh, man. That's another precedent thing you got to think about. Oh, that's scary. But then as Aaron said, like, our generation's political. So we're going to see a lot change, I think, as we get older, one way or the other. It's not really something... We'll not talk about the specifics, but, like, we are a political generation,
and we are going to have to decide a lot about the future for ourselves, and like I said, those under us, because I think, just personally, if everybody else, I don't know if you see it or agree with me, that our age range is where we're seeing like a big clash among the nation. Like, we're kind of just starting to be voters. We're going to provide a lot for different platforms. So I think that the nation's going to come out one way or the other based on really how our opinions are swayed. So I think we're a really important generation. I couldn't tell you why. Like, I really couldn't. I could just say that I really think that's going to be the case.
I think it's, like, interesting to hear you guys say you identify as, like, a political generation. Like, because I don't know that if I had to say, okay, if I was, I mean, even just your grade, let's say, like, if I had to label you, like, seniors across the nation, I don't know that I would say, like, oh, they're a political bunch. So, like, what makes you feel like that? Because I think that that's interesting. Like, what makes you identify as, like, yeah, we are a political generation for sure.
I feel like us as, like, our generation, we see all these things are happening, and we understand it, and we know that our future depends on what happens today and what happens tomorrow and stuff like that. So whenever we know that we're able to make a decision and it can help change tomorrow. And so I feel like in today's society, most of us have come to the understanding that we need to be able to understand and act on the things that we are noticing. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, just with the school shooting thing, we saw a bunch of young adults and teenagers and stuff like that, and people, yeah, coming up and standing for what they believe in, and I don't really remember a time. I mean, I probably remember something. But, like, we're able to get facts, and we're able to spread our opinion and our beliefs about these facts. And I feel like our generation I feel like there's a lot more confidence within our generation, because we are able to get up and say what we believe. So,
yeah. I think there's, like, within, like, our government and political system, it's just, you could probably say it's almost entirely black or white within that. And so we're kind of, like, seeing that, and we're, like, kind of, okay, maybe in this situation, we're kind of picking up the gray, maybe, or, like, having the black and white pushed on us. And so within, like, our peer groups and stuff, we have to choose, are we black or are we white? Like, which side? But yeah, and that defines us as a person, because you can be talking about a person and that is such a defining factor of you. Mm-hmm. And then
do you think the way you feel that way is maybe because a lot of these issues have to do with right and wrong, and right and wrong is often black and white?
Yeah.
I would agree with a lot of gray areas at the same time. I mean, a lot of things are right and a lot of things are wrong.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's a clear right and wrong, but I think that as humans, we just fall into the gray sometimes. And we may do something wrong with the right heart, or the opposite.
This reminds me of our conversation the other day in the fifth block.
Go on.
We went into the gray area, so.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, Darby, you brought up, like, school shootings. So to, like, this is gonna, I guess, take us a little bit away from politics, but I'm curious, like, how does that impact daily life for your generation? Because, like, so when I was in school, we really had Columbine and that was it. So it's still pretty new. And so I don't know that I was ever afraid to go to school, but is that, like, a real thing for you all?
It is. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Sure, something.
Yes.
everybody's already heard my story.
Yeah.
But I was in the
March 7th last year.
I was in the lunchroom, alright, and there was, like, I guess, a sonic boom, as the Air Force would like to call it. Probably aliens, I don't know. But I heard it, and it was real loud, and Mrs. Green went out into the hallway and said, everybody get into a room. And so then when I heard that, I was like, no. So I'm out the front door, almost by the highway, when the highway patrol's like, get back inside. And they heard that across the county. But, like, still, that was a real thing for me. And then another example, which happened last semester, we're just in, I think it was ACT prep class, and then the fire alarm goes off. And I don't think fire. That's not the first thing I think. Whenever everybody steps out of the hallway, I didn't. I waited in the classroom just for a second, just to listen. And that's a serious thing. And then you also are in this room all day. And I don't know what the deal is with the roof, like, banging all the time, but I hear it, and I think, and I just wait. And it's not, like, something that prevents me from going about my daily life, but it's always something that's there, and I'm going to always be hyper-vigilant about it, because, like, I care about my safety, and I care about the safety of those around me, and it's just something that's so new. Like, for ROTC as well, we have training on that now, for, like, that class curriculum. Like, that's something we have to prepare for, and, like, all ROTC students are taught, like, these are the things you do. Even, like, even if you have to be put in harm's way, like, these are the things that keep you and other people safe. So it's, like, it's just a part and a facet of our life now. And
it's become a part of our life. And so we see shootings on the news, and it's, like, oh,
another shooting.
Yeah. It's, like, every day, and it's just become something that's not, like, we're just staring at the screen all day, like, what is going on? It's just another shooting.
I just did it right over there where I refuse to sit with my back towards the door just because I'm scared that I won't see something coming, kind of thing. And so I feel like that alone has opened the minds of young people because they're worried about that. We're all worried about that because we come to school every single day and we don't know what's going to happen. And as much as we would like to say, hey, I feel completely safe in my school, we can't because we see all these things on the news, and the school will do as much as they can, which is very much appreciated. But, like, we're like, I remember last year also there was these notes going around, and they would scare the heck out of me because it was just like they weren't. Nothing happened, but, like, just the thought that someone might be thinking this way.
And it's not just like school either. It's like I hate going to the movie theaters now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every time, like, stadiums, like going to
fairs.
I'm always like, where's the exit? Where am I sitting? What is my course if something happens?
Yeah. Aaron and I went to a Trump rally.
Yeah, that was
scary. And they kept on letting people in. And
it was
in
just
and
constant flow.
And we left early because we did not feel safe. Yeah. Because we felt that we were in a situation where if something were to happen,
the exits
would not be available.
So,
and so
and
it sucks that we have to live in that fear.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
But I think also this can kind of be a positive thing because now we're also looking a lot more into mental health and, like, others and, like, reaching out to others who may show signs of that and, like, maybe trying
stopping it before.
Yeah, or, like, rehabilitating or going into that, like, maybe not now, but going into that. And
much
so,
more aware.
Yeah, and that's also another thing that the older generation, I wish they understood, is, like, I just feel like our generation struggles a lot more with, like, mental kind of things, like mental anxiety and mental depression and stuff like that more than they do. Because, like, I feel like almost everyone or every other person you talk to, they have one or the other something. And it's, like, that's a big thing. Like, how are you doing? And it's, like, and then, like, I was gonna say earlier, like, it's a lot to do with growing up from screens, just being behind a screen all the time, and that's like kind of affecting our social interaction, and I feel like that can give us anxiety more often.
I feel like us being aware of like these mental health issues and the news and stuff like that, it really has helped our generation to mature faster. Like, though some, I'm not like mature.
Good and bad.
Yeah, no.
Some of us are maturing a little too fast. Like, slow down, eighth graders. You don't look like that.
Not that kind of maturity. Like, the awareness kind of. Because
mm-hmm.
if you, like, there's those people who say, oh, you guys don't know anything that's going on. Like, you guys don't understand what's going on. We're like, yeah, we do. We have to live it every day. And so I feel like us seeing all these things that are happening and everyone, like, seeing it in our own homes and stuff like that, it really helps us to, though in a good way or a bad way, it really helps us to mature more. And so I feel like that is something that other generations don't quite understand. That we, and they may just say, hey, you're just an 18-year-old saying this because you want more freedom. No, it's because this is what we've been noticing. And we're actually being able to stand up and look around and see what's going on. And we're able to gain an opinion on it. And that, I feel like, is something that other generations don't quite understand because... I mean, they didn't have these constant, I mean, they had other fears, but not these constant fears of, like,
your
this going
physical
on.
Physical safety.
This, yeah. Your mentally, yeah. Mentally.
Not.
Do you think the priorities of, like, the future generations have changed compared to their parents?
I feel like, yeah, like, I really do feel, it may not have changed a lot, but it definitely has amplified a little bit. Because within each generation, something new comes up. And so I feel like that, and with our prior knowledge from other generations that we have learned and we have seen and we have lived, if I feel like our priorities will change compared to what it was in like 1980s, 1920s, stuff like that. I feel like our priorities do change because of everything else going on.
Okay, so kind of back to like the school shooting stuff and like how we're always paranoid about that and other generations don't understand that completely because one will happen and nowadays it's all news, what'll get shocks, what'll get views, what'll get us most popular, and that stuff will. So that gets blasted everywhere, and then other people have those ideas, and they act on them more and more, and we just keep getting drowned with these ideas, and it's forced inside of our heads, because screens and news and social media are all around us, and it's all they blast. It's like, just a shock, it's a... So, it's really hard for somebody in our generation not to be paranoid about that, because they're so overwhelmed with it every day, constantly.
So do you guys mention screens? Like, I'm guessing, just like show of hands, how many of you have a phone? So
all of us, those of you who are listening, that was everyone in the circle. So I'm guessing that there was probably a time where you begged a parent for a phone, would be my guess. Do you wish that you had that now? Like, or do you wish, like, you could have a break from it? Or you wish you would have had the parent who was like, no, you're not allowed to ever have a phone?
I
like,
could go back in time and just destroy phones. Like, they're great,
I
know,
but I hate them.
I just want to be Amish. That's what I want. I just want...
Oh, you said
it's just too much.
Like, we need to go back and completely destroy the phones. The phones have certain uses,
no,
but we need
yeah.
to get rid of applications on phones. Like,
okay, that's
so
certain
that means,
applications.
Like, we need to get rid of, okay, phone, like, calling and texting, That's useful stuff that a phone isn't really handy for. You can't, like,
maybe
you
in
can't
the
walk
phone
and talk
there.
To somebody from, like, here in New York. You can call them on a phone, but there's a lot of stuff on phones.
I met my fiance on Instagram, so.
No.
Yeah, I was gonna say for every bad, there's a good.
Yeah,
and
I just
I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, if you think about it, we get most of our news from social media.
Yeah,
like,
but
because we don't really turn on the TV and look and watch and sit down and watch the 10 o'clock news.
Okay,
what we do
you
is
might
we
not,
okay. No, I only watch the weather
because
I want
to
know if
be.
I can wear shorts the next day.
Okay.
Which we have not been able to do for a while.
But yeah, but like, if you open your phone and you go on Twitter, the first thing you see is the latest news, or, yeah,
it's
that,
like,
it's annoying.
Everyone always puking in their face.
Yeah.
I hate
no,
it.
No, it really
it's
is.
Like, I had to delete Twitter because every day I would just get angry, like, literally angry. I'd be, like, sitting in class, like,
really important question. Have you deleted Twitter before?
No.
Before that? Any other application?
No.
Nothing like that? This
just
is the first
Twitter.
Time?
But
I,
was, I
okay.
want
I want
for people like you.
I know,
yeah.
I'm kidding.
That was the
but
thing.
Also, what was I gonna say? Okay, but we just I just think about like the 1950s. I'm just like
take me back.
Like, okay,
you're gonna
need
to be very careful about
and
the implications.
So, like, okay, like just the thought of like going on, like we're talking about our generation and stuff, but like they would go on dates and the guy would like ask the girl, "Do you want to go on a date?" And
now,
like face to face, and then he'd like go to her house, and I'm like,
that happens
I just
now.
I want face to face, like I want more. I just wish we could like talk to each other face to face more and just like be real and just be like,
I feel like the
friendly
phones,
and
yeah. Like the phones need to have their limits.
There.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
like
don't.
My brothers, sorry, I keep on interrupting you. My brothers, they go home, the first thing they do is they hop up in their room and they start playing Fortnite. And they don't, you just don't see them. If you see them, then you know that someone is dying. Or like the internet is off or something. That's kind
that's
of how
sad.
Yeah, and it's sad. But like that's how like phones affect us negatively. But like there's always some positives that happen from
yeah.
them. Like I mean I meet a lot of people through social media, like someone says something to
but,
me or something like that.
Okay.
It makes me feel good.
Yeah, but looking
really
at that, would you rather have an interaction and make friends with someone
yeah.
over social media
no.
versus Facebook?
No. Some people, you're like, okay, keep it to the social media. I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I really am into computer science, and that's ironic, I know. But, and like, web design and stuff, but like in there we kind of read articles and stuff, and there's like this whole thing and it's like it's not good or bad. Technology is neither good nor bad,
it's just how we use it.
Yeah
it's meant for good, but we use it
differently. Yeah, it's like, well, I mean really that's anything, like even with books
books are technology
good.
It's just like books. Like, books can be good and books can be bad.
Yeah.
Like there's like, you know, the Bible
yeah.
and Mein Kampf, two different things. Like,
but
there's good and there's bad.
But I feel like
you go, Travis.
You're like over
I keep on interrupting you. So
yeah,
bad.
But then
I
just,
hear
like,
you.
I forget because I'm thinking about what you're saying.
I'm sorry. Say something.
Something.
Alright,
no.
just shush.
Something
shush.
Really good about like the technology though and our social media is representation. I've heard this argument a lot throughout college. And my cheer team does this thing called the chocolate cheer picture at every event. And everyone that's a minority gets in the picture and they do this. So like most of them are black, but like the guy that's in it all the time is gay. And there's like a couple of Latino girls that get in it and stuff. And I asked them like one time, like, why do you guys do this? Like, and I was like, not everyone in the picture is black, so like, what's up with the chocolate cheer? And they said, well, it's about minorities and it's about representation. And I mean, if you search cheerleader on Google, you're just gonna see a bunch of white blonde girls, very skinny, and You know, if someone that doesn't look like that is going to see it and feel like that they can't do cheerleading at a high level, and it's very comforting and like motivational to see people doing what they love at a high level that look like them or relate to them more. So I feel like social media has its positives.
Also, for a lot of technology phase, believe it or not, for a lot of people, it's a way to get away from real life. Like television, games, phones, everything. It's okay to keep it at a distance sometimes from real world to get away from it. Because to the question, from past generations, they don't understand that a lot of pressure is being put on the newer generations to change what's wrong. And it's not easy, everything. So like it's an easy way to get away from a lot of things. So
that doesn't help our society, because then
yeah.
I personally feel like our society has gotten weaker in general, hiding behind technology and other stuff. Yeah, you're good.
We like want to run away from that, and that's where technology.
Yeah,
and I think instead of like dealing with life, like the past generations have, we just put life on the side and go to Instagram and look at posts.
Yeah, if you had problems with people back in the day, you'd just go fuck
square.
I was like, meet me
at the front common.
It's
that's
like
it. Well,
winner for.
Yeah, they.
Oh my gosh.
Back in the day, just be like, okay, 30 minutes, done, it's solved. Now you can move on with life, and it doesn't take that long.
And
those 30
like,
minutes could end someone's lives, too.
But yeah, but that's
the same.
Just in, like, the I guess, how many years different? Like, 12 years? I'm 12 years older than you guys, is that right?
Sure.
Something like that. So, like, I've noticed, so my sister's 10 years younger than I am. And I noticed just in between our school experiences, like if there was someone mean at my school, and like we had, okay, so Facebook was extended outside of college students. You used to have a college like login or some sort of like college representation to have a Facebook. And it was like a college yearbook was the whole goal of it. And I have a yearbook in college. And so then they extended it to high school students my senior year. Like, it was a really big deal. But you couldn't like change your Facebook status. It was like Amber DeLugosh is eating, and it was a drop-down menu. Like, you couldn't really do anything on it. It was just to show where you were in the world at, like, whatever time. So, when I went to school, if there was someone who was mean or, like, had beef with me or whatever, I knew who that person was. But I saw my sister live a very stressed life because of the anonymous nature of things. So it was almost like her peers became this, secretive paparazzi. Like, you just never really know who's watching, or like, is this the person who said the hateful thing? Was it my friend or was it my enemy? Like, you just don't really know. And so that feels hard. I don't know how you guys do that. Like, in the night, you can't shut it off. You take that home with you in your pocket. Like, that feels stressful to me.
And like, that plays into the anxiety we have. Like, it just feels like everyone is watching us and the world is against us.
But that's also like, if you use it too much.
Yeah.
Like, if you use it responsibly enough, like a normal person, you're fine. It's gonna
but
be fine.
Normal.
You're fine.
Oh, yeah,
no,
normal people
who like are addicted to it.
Yeah.
That's like most of us.
Yeah.
And then it's like negative, and then it affects our brains, and then we're sad all the time.
Well, I want to go back and kind of help Gibby out here. I understood some of what he was saying. Escaping from reality isn't like a blanket statement a good thing. It's not a good thing. But like for some people, that's all they've got. Like, if you're not coming up in a good house, your parents are fighting all the time or something, that's all that keeps you mentally there, is the ability to escape from that. So, like, it has other good things. It's like the good and the bad that we talked about earlier. And I guess another thing, we feel a responsibility to fix the problems that we've all talked about today. And I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but when I look at generations younger than us, like even the juniors, sophomores, and freshmen now, I'm not hopeful for them.
I'm
scared.
Yeah.
Like what you said earlier, where
you're like,
you compare the eighth graders.
You're looking like
that. And like, yeah.
I
but I, yeah, and if
certainly not like a junior.
And so that makes me feel, honestly, like when I look around at our grade, like we are the last people that have an opportunity to fix the trend. I feel a lot of pressure on that, and I feel like a motivation to make that difference. But the question is how.
I feel like the generations before us have also thought like that. Because I mean, we look at our younger siblings and their friends and stuff like that. Why do I keep on saying that stuff? Anyways, you look at them and you think, oh my gosh, why aren't you watching Barney at your age? And that, if you think about it, that's how the generations before us might look at us. Like, oh my gosh, I was still wearing Crocs and putting my hair in little butterfly clips at your age.
So it's kind of like what you were talking about earlier, is like our generation matured faster, but now it's like the people younger than us are maturing faster.
Yeah.
And
I was thinking,
we just came from a senior trip meeting, and I was thinking, like, the juniors would never be able to do this.
Yeah.
Like, the way they are now, if they just went and took a trip like this, it would not work.
Yeah.
No, if they did.
If
like, if they were in our spot.
They did,
we get to do that.
Like, not to be insulting, but, like, because I just observe them because I'm in a class with, like, all of them in calc. Which, pre-calc is a senior class, and they are taking over pre-calc, which is adds to the argument. But I just observe them, and they're mean. They're really mean.
Do you feel like you guys were like that?
Oh, yeah.
No,
I feel like we were.
I
feel like we're now looking at it. Yeah, we were at a different level. I feel
like
we were
mean.
I don't think anyone else was mean.
But
okay, I will say.
Yeah. Slowly, the means just coming up.
Yeah.
And,
I will.
That scares us for
the
future.
No, I would say that I know some a lot younger, even kids, and they're pretty brutal. And I was blanket statement as like the technology issue, but I feel like
I was in the primary school earlier today, and this kid yelled the F-bomb. The primary school.
I did my class over the summer, and some kid tried to spank another kid with scissors.
You remember this?
Bring back spanking.
Oh my God, spanking! Oh, I know kids on my bus. They're like, I don't know, first, second grade, and they're like the worst children in the world. Not like bad as in, you know, they're doing that, like, running around and doing stuff. No, that would be normal. I would call that normal right now. But they have
just
phones that would look at disturbing things that I wouldn't
very
even be close. I didn't even know what the heck it was when I was a kid.
Because the brainwash so numb with that stuff because it's flooded.
And it's because screens are rotting our brains.
Yeah.
The Kardashians are rotting our brains.
Whatever you guys want to sponsor us, that's cool
too. Yeah, and a lot of things are going on social media, like the Momo challenge.
What are they even famous
for?
I
am against talking about that ever.
What is the Momo challenge?
Don't look it up.
What?
Is that that bird statue?
It's a really scary thing. I
have nightmares.
No!
It would
don't
show up on
the
computer.
Yes.
Don't look
that
up.
Never
like,
look
you know,
it up.
Like, you don't do it like this, kids. You do it like this for results.
So messed
okay,
up.
This was actually a long time ago. It was named something else, but it was the same thing.
But yeah.
Basically wanted... I'm not going to elaborate.
I feel like that, yeah, that also has an effect on our generation. Because, like, we are also aware of that now. We're aware, we hear about these almost instantly. Like, you see it on the news, you see it on social media, you hear it from your class, it just goes around. And so, I mean, honestly, that's also where social media is bad, but it's also good because it gets the word around, it spreads it around, and people are aware of things more.
The point where it hit me, the bad part about that is just when I saw a kid from intermediate school just say, "You don't do it like this, you do it like this," on the bus, and it just
hurts.
Yeah.
just going to say, like, to sum up everything we've talked about, feels like society loses its forward momentum.
Yeah.
And it becomes stagnant. And so when that happens, our individual opinions don't become just opinions, now they're convictions, and we genuinely believe in these things and are unwilling to compromise, which pits us to war against each other, usually on social media, where you see it most prevalent. But then that starts to kind of beg the question, what if the social media wasn't there?
Please.
Would we honestly fight each other over these things? And I really feel the answer is yes. And it's like, you look around at people that even you can be friends with and close with, and you really disagree on things that at the end of the day you would go to war over. Because, like, those are things you genuinely believe in. And it's kind of scary to see that division, but at the same time, it provides me at least a little bit of hope to understand that as teenagers and as citizens, as growing adults, we have convictions and opinions as well. Things that we genuinely believe in. That way we have some tangible aspect of what our society needs to be. Because right now it feels like everyone's... I mean, obviously we're disagreeing, but we're not getting anything done on the matter, and we've stagnated, and we need to move forward in some direction. And so, at the end of the day, at least sometime, something will prevail. We will move forward somehow, and that we will stop just allowing ourselves to be complacent in life.
Although I still think, like, all the generation keeps on a cycle over and over again, the new generation try to fix things on their own way, get close-minded, and become the, like, what it is now. With politicians just wanting it their own way, and people who can't actually make decisions just not thinking about the future anymore, just they're thinking about how to make it better for themselves. Like, they had good intentions to make it better for the future generation, but it just got twisted somewhere, somehow, so.
We need to make people have talks like this throughout
you
the
wish.
World.
You
I wish we could do that.
Yes.
That would help.
I feel like
it's our own challenge.
I feel like if we also if we keep these views, like if we keep these views, our kids thinking like future terms. Like we learn everything from our parents pretty much. Most everything. And most of our political views come from what our parents believe or what our guardians believe. So I feel like if we keep this idea of change and wanting to change, then our next generations, like our kids our kids and their kids, maybe we... I kind of have this hope, just being able to sit here and talk with people without arguing. I feel like if we are able to do that within ourselves, we can pass it on to our kids and to our kids, our grandkids, and just I feel like that's how we start a change. Also, like showing others what we have learned and showing the incoming kids and stuff and people, just being able to spread what we've learned and our understanding and not judging them for their beliefs either, it can really change